The Lord is good. If you believe it from your heart, give me an amen.
Amen.
Once again, I want to say I'm happy to be here. I've been here a number of times before, and I'm happy once again to be among the happiest people on earth. Let me just, before I start my sharing this evening, let me just testify that one of the greatest books that I've ever blessed in my life is that book titled The Happiest People on Earth. And if you're a member of the gospel and you have not read it, you're not a member of the gospel. because I'm a member, actually, you know, if you fellowship people a lot, you speak in their chapters, I think you have become a member one way or the other. Okay. An associate member. So if an associate member has read the book, I've read it many times. I don't know how many times I've read it. I often have it within 1 minute reach of me in my home. I'm sure there's one other in my bedroom. I have 2 copies. I even gave my son to read. And he just he had it to read in GSS. It's in SSS now. There was a time I spoke so much about it, I had to order a whole carton from my brother Zubi Okolo. He helped me get a whole carton of it because my people in the ministry where I teach, everybody wanted one. So it was almost fight like I saw it first. It's a book. I just want to recommend it again. That book showed me, it taught me, I read it many years ago, not now. I read that book, it's not less than 20 years ago when I first read it. And I've read it at least 10 times since. And I keep reading it. So I just feel I recommend it to everybody. Even if today is your first time of coming, lay a hold. All right, lay hold of a copy of the book on a copy and read it. It will bless your life. It's titled The Happiest People on Earth, The Story of the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship, How It Was Started. There's so many spiritual lessons inside there. All right, the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
I'm speaking this evening on the subject, faith. Does obedience perfect faith? There is a scriptural reference I was given, but I will beg to be allowed to take another one from the book of James on that issue, because James specifically spoke about it, the fact that obedience perfects faith. Now, can I just say a word of prayer as I commence the teaching? Father, we thank you because you are in our midst. Our prayers, our worship, our fellowship, everything is unto you. Your Holy Spirit is here, present with us. Lord, as I speak this evening, I will speak only your words as inspired by the Holy Spirit. And everyone present, we have understanding as that word comes forth in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, this word will provoke obedience in the lives of everyone present here this evening in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now, let's just start by reading from that book of James, chapter 2. The title of the message is Obedience Perfects Faith. I want to explain something that's very important about the book of James for us to understand. I will start even from the 14th verse, the book of James, chapter 2. James said, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works?" He says, can that faith save him? What James was asking is that that is a particular type of faith. Can that kind of faith save the person? He now went ahead to explain that if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and be filled," and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, he says, what use is that? Now, the person praying assumes that he has faith and he can get results from God as a result of the prayer to solve the need of somebody else. He said, but you have the means to solve that need and you don't do it. He said, that faith, what use is it? James now said, even so, faith, that is in every other ramification, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. He says, someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Then the response is, show me your faith without the works. James was saying, how do you plan to show me your faith without the works? He said, this is how I will show you my own faith. I will show you my faith by my works. What James was saying is that the only proof of faith is the work it produces. There is no other way to know faith is there if it is not producing works. Then he went ahead and said many things. Let me just jump a few verses. In verse 21, he said, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? He said, you see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So he said in verse 24, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith that is standing by itself, that is faith alone. That if a man is standing by what he thinks is faith and there is no works, he is not justified. Then he went ahead and gave example about Rahab the harlot. In verse 26, he says, for just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Now that is the scripture I'm going to use to teach this evening concerning what we mean when we say obedience perfects faith. As you can see there, James said that faith, when the works is cooperating, all right, is perfected. We read that in the book of in verse 22, speaking about Abraham. Now, let me just quickly say something here, and this is how I want to commence this exposition concerning this matter. First, because this is full gospel, and we like to take things from the professional angle so as to, that people can relate with it. And because of my own profession as a doctor, we learn this even as medical students, how to certify that a human being is dead. Because a man that's sleeping very deeply to the untrained eye, you may think the fellow is dead. So it is a small procedure for deciding that somebody is dead. Now, I won't go into details about it, but one of it, the very rudimentary one, very easy for everybody to understand, is when somebody is not breathing and is not making any attempt to breathe. You observe him for a while, he doesn't make any attempt to breathe. It's one of the signs that this fellow is dead. Now, James was actually saying that exactly when he said to us, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. You say, but he says spirit. Let me explain something to you. That word translated spirit here in the Greek is the word pneuma, and it's the same word that is used for breath. James, actually what he said is, just like the body without the breath is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Now, notice something here. James was not saying that lack of breath killed the body. He was saying that that was a sign that this body is dead. Please, I'm bringing out something here. You will see, everything in life, in fact, the foundation of everything in life is spiritual. It is spiritual. That is, if we are going to be justified, it is by faith that is inside the heart. It is not by the works. Paul extensively explained that justification is by faith. We heard the story of Martin Luther in the Great Reformation. What he emphasized to everybody was that it is not by your works that you are justified. It is by faith. Now, there's a problem with things that are inside the heart. There is no, by themselves, you cannot tell whether they are there or they are not there. It is so bad that a man can claim to have faith and God will look and say he does not have. Yet he thinks, now that's the word, he thinks he has. That's what I want to emphasize. The fellow thinks he has, but he does not have. You know, the house I live in, when I moved into the house a few years ago, I met my landlord, an elderly man. And he said something which I've used to preach quite a number of times since that day. He was asking me a few questions. We're just talking. He found out that I'm a Christian and I'm a preacher. He's an elderly man. Currently, he's over 80 years of age. And he told me that he noticed that a lot of Christians these days, so-called Pentecostal churches, that they don't emphasize that people should be born again. He said to me that he had been to the church I was attending then, that he didn't hear the church emphasizing being born again. He mentioned one particular church that was the only church he had been to in Enugu at that time that seemed to be emphasizing that people should be born again. Why was he saying this? He said his father was a bishop. I don't mean a Pentecostal bishop. You know, these days in Pentecostalism, becoming a bishop is very easy. All right? Yes, you know. I mean, that's not supposed to be an insult, just a matter of fact. Okay? I can decide that I'm a bishop, and you will call me bishop. There's nothing you can do about it. All right? And if you don't introduce me as bishop, I won't come up to the podium to speak. I will insist that I'm a bishop. So, but no, his father is a traditional Orthodox bishop. So you know what it means to be a bishop in those circles, all right? He said he grew up in that kind of setting. Yet, he did not know he was not a Christian. He was telling me by himself that he was in his 50s when his daughter came from school, an undergraduate, with her friend, and they sat him down and showed him the scriptures. He realized that he was not a Christian. His father is a bishop, and at that time was a bishop. He grew up in a supposed Christian home, and he thought he was a Christian until his daughter sat down, his own daughter, that is his own offspring. She had grown, she was a big girl, a student in the university, a vibrant believer on campus. She came home one day with her friend, said, "This is my father. We need to make sure that he's going to heaven." They sat him down. He said that was when he gave his life to Christ. He was telling me by himself. Now, why did I tell this story? Because it shows that it is possible for a man who is going to hellfire to think he's going to heaven. Why? Because he has his name on the roster. He has his name on the register. He pays his contributions, his tithes, whatever it is, to a particular church organization regularly. And they know him there. In fact, he said that in his church, then when he said he had become born again, they were laughing at him amongst themselves. That have you heard? Elders so and so say he's now born again, just now. That is, what is he trying to tell us? The rest of us are not Christians in the denomination. Why am I saying this? It emphasizes, because in the last day, Jesus said, many will come to me and say, "Did we not do these things in your name?" And I will say to them, "I never knew you." That is, they didn't backslide. There was never a relationship. What am I trying to emphasize? So things that are inside the heart, sometimes people can be deceived. There can be delusion. That's why James said in the book of James chapter 1, he said, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self, deluding your own self." That is, it's possible for somebody to be going to church, is hearing the word of God. He's what James calls a hearer, but he's not a doer. And for that reason, he's deceived into thinking that he's truly a believer. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Deception. So, even though faith really is the way by which we are justified, but our topic this evening is trying to emphasize something to us. The only way we know the faith is alive and not dead is if it is producing the works appropriate to the profession of faith. That a man who's professing faith shouldn't believe his profession until he sees that his works are cooperating with the thing that he's professing. That's one thing I want us to understand. And that's what we mean by obedience perfects faith. That is, let me explain something. The Lord told Joshua something, all right, in the beginning, in that when Joshua was going about his mission, Joshua chapter 1. He said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." We all know that scripture very well. Chapter 1, verse 8. He said, "But you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you will be careful to do all that is written therein." He said, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." What was he telling him? That the way by which you obey the word of God is by paying attention to it. Now, please, I'm going somewhere. You will see that Moses said to the people of Israel, he said that if you will diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to obey all these things that I'm commanding you today, he said this is what will happen. He now enumerated the blessings. But what I want to bring out is the fact that he said, if you shall diligently hearken. The literal Hebrew for diligently hearken is to listen. So some versions will say, if you shall pay close attention to what I am telling you today. What I'm saying here is this. The word of God works on us if it actually enters our hearts. So Joshua, God said to Joshua, if you pay attention, you will find obedience to my word automatic. Now, I'm going somewhere. Which means, therefore, if you are not obeying the word has not entered you, even though you have heard it before. I don't know whether you got what I'm trying to say here. That is the only proof that the thing you have heard has entered into your heart is by the works it produces. If you want to know whether you have faith concerning finances, it is not how much scripture you can quote as my God shall supply all my needs. No. It is how do I relate with money? You know, sometimes, you know, it's very common in today's Christianity, and I always like to drop these words here and there when I am speaking to people. It's a very common, confusion, yeah, that's a better expression, that in today's Christianity, concerning money. Many of us go to churches where this is what we are taught. Please, I do not mean to offend anybody, but I owe it to God and to my brethren to tell the truth everywhere I go. This is the way we are taught a lot of times. If we need money, we go and give money. And God will multiply the money that we have given back to us. So a lot of us now get up and say, let me go and sow a seed so that I can get something back. Let me quickly drop this one. That is not Christianity. The only reason God gives to you is because Jesus died for you and you believe in it. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verse 9. He said, this is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was rich, but for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. That is all. There's no other reason why God gives to you. If you like, sacrifice a goat, sacrifice a sheep, sacrifice your car, like one man said, that Mercedes-Benz sacrifice is bigger than cow. It doesn't matter. Sacrifice your whole family if you like. The only reason God gives to you is because Jesus died for you. And there is nothing that God can owe you based on your works that he doesn't owe you more already based on the works of Jesus Christ. Faith is the reason why you get anything from God, not what you have done. That is a matter of fact. That is Christianity. This is where we often have a confusion. We hear a testimony. This man did this, and he got this. This other man did this, and he got this. My people have a saying that this is Western Nigeria. They say you can see a man running in the afternoon. It's either he's running after something, or something is running after him. By just seeing him running, you don't know what's going on. So we can start arguing later that man was running. Why? Somebody stole his car. He was pursuing his thief. Or they know some people were shooting behind. He was running away from. All you know is that he's running. The reason why he's running needs to be critically examined before you can see anything about his running. What am I saying? You might say that the man did this and God did this for him. But God said, I, the Lord, the first thing I do is to check the heart before I reward the man for what he's doing. Many people we are copying did not do what we are doing. It's only the running that looks the same. They were running towards something. We are running away from something. I would say both of us are running. No, it's two different runnings. The example I like to give is a woman in the Bible that gave to Elisha, the woman of Shunem. He said, I perceive, she told her husband, that this is a holy man of God passing by us every day. He said, for that reason, why don't we make him... The man used to come to the house to entertain them. She will entertain Elisha and his servant. So let's make him a place where he can stay, a guest house. So Elisha now had the place, and this woman was just too nice to Elisha. The Bible says, because she perceived that he was a man of God. That's all. Elisha now came and said, what can we do for her? Gehazi said, I don't know. Call her. They called her. Do you need special prayers? The woman said, no. You need breakthrough? She said, no. Let's speak to the governor for you. He said, I live amongst my people. I can tell the chief of police to always parade around your house. I'm that influential. The woman said, who am I afraid of? If it is money, my husband has a lot of it. What do you need? For what purpose are you doing all of these things? Nothing. I just perceive, I'm adding my own words now, that you are a man of God. And Jesus said something later. If you will do something to a prophet because he's a prophet, not because you are in need. We Christians have carried it to, when I am in need, I do for a prophet. Jesus said, you get nothing. You only get something if your only motivation is that he's a prophet. This woman did for Elisha because he was a prophet, a true man of God. When they said, what do you want? She said, I want nothing. Elisha said, how do I handle this matter? Told Gehazi. Gehazi said, since Uzziah called me here, have you heard a child shout? Elisha said, that is true. Call the woman back. The woman came, just told the woman, 9 months' time, you will bear a son. The woman didn't even have any faith. She said, don't lie to me, man of God. Which means all her work was not so that she can have that child. She wasn't expecting anything. But such was the anointing upon this man that the woman conceived by force and delivered when she was not willing. I don't want to go ahead because there are many things to learn from her story. What I want to emphasize is that the woman did not do what many of us are doing these days. Then we tell the story. If you will build a prophet a house, God will give you many children. The woman you are referring to did not do it for the children. Why did she do it is my question. She did it because she perceived that God must be honored. And this man is his man. So the honor of God, let me bestow it upon this man. Her faith in God came out of her naturally as works. That's what I'm talking about. And that faith, even though she personally wasn't reaching for that child, it was enough to bring something into her life. The genuine faith will always express itself by the way we behave on a daily basis. It is not what we claim to have in our hearts as faith. It is what just seeps out of our system when we are doing our works as Christians. That is the faith that is genuine. That is, no matter how much messages you have listened to, no matter how much prayer you have prayed, until the work you are doing comes out of you naturally as a result of what you actually believe. In that case, you really don't have faith. You only think that you have. I will say something that will surprise some people. Please, again, like I said, I mean no disrespect. I do not mean to come here and cause problems, causing discussion after I will have gone. I just want to tell the truth. Many of us wake up every day and say we are praying for the country. And you know it is good. We should pray for the country. But I want to challenge you today to let you know that many of us, our faith don't work at all. Because we don't put our money where our mouth is. What do I mean? God, this country will be good. Everybody, amen, amen, amen. Now I beg, carry my children, go and put in Canada. I'm not saying Canada is a bad place. I don't know you. I don't know whether your children are there. I have a lot of friends who are doing that now. That's why I'm using as an example. Your faith, for me, is that you have no faith in the country. Just stop this prayer point. Just go and be worshiping. Just worship. Thank you for the stars. Thank you for the moon. Thank you for the... Just thank God. But when people are groaning for the country, relax. Relax. Your faith is weak. Don't deceive yourself. It's very weak. You say, are you saying wrong? Right now, yes, I think it is. My friend Pastor Corey says, your children are safest where you are. Mm-hmm. He's in Sokoto, the man is talking. So he can understand that he believes what he's saying. He's one man I used to preach all the time. In the midst of this crisis, his father called, his father-in-law begged him, send me your wife and your children. He said to me, what will I say in church? There are people who are standing because of my faith. He's not an old man. He's my age mate. His children are the same age as mine. He has 4 of them. 3 boys, 1 girl. He will call me on the phone. This guy will keep me awake at night praying. That is, he doesn't know. I'm praying for him. The day before elections were announced, he said he's hurrying back. That we're going for a funeral in Akure. He said he has to get back to Sokoto before. Okay, election was on Saturday. He ran back. All the flights were booked. He said, how do I get back? He went by road, got to Abuja at night. Went by road. Next morning, he said, I cannot be out of my base in the midst of crisis like this. Say a man has faith, that man has. One of his friends who's a pastor in Lagos called him and said, send me your children. I will send you flight tickets for all of them. He smiled and said, what about the other children of the other people who are in church? To my surprise, the man told him, gather their names. Send them. I buy tickets for everybody. He said, listen, this man is a serious man. When he says it, it means he has the money. He said, for that reason, I didn't call him back. I want to challenge you. When you say you have faith, you have to know whether you have faith or you don't. Ordinary, I'm a man from Ondo State, naturally speaking. If you read the Bible, my Hittiteness and my Amoriteness is Ondo State. I'm reading for Ezekiel chapter 16. Coming to Enugu alone, I hear what Nigerians will be saying to me. Because I'm coming to come and tabernacle in Enugu. I bought land in Enugu. I'm building a house in Enugu. I'm going to live in Enugu. And they are looking at me like, are you normal? What is normal? What is abnormal about me? Who says Canada is safe? If you stand in Canada and say homosexuality is bad, they put you in prison. People are not concerned about the next generation. They are putting children in the midst of where morality is zero. You are setting them up so that they can deny God tomorrow. I find this safer. I tell my children, you want to go to school? I said, paying fees is not my problem. We are going to UNEC where I can see you. If you don't want to go to UNEC, you go to one of these private universities around. But me, I am paying you a dime to get out of here. Because when I pray, God will hear. I won't play safe and think I can pray and he will still listen. Many times we claim we have faith. We don't have. The people we are copying, they didn't do what we did, what we are doing. They did not do that. That woman did not give to Elisha because he felt that Elisha will get her something. He said, this is a holy man of God. Let's honor the God that he serves. Jesus said, if you give to a prophet because he's a prophet, not because you are in need. The one who practice today in churches, let me tell you, that's why you have sown and sown and sown and gotten nothing. Because you are not obeying God. He said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind before I give anybody any reward for what he thinks he's doing. When I was going to get married many years ago, I married about 16 years ago. This year will be my 16th anniversary. As is normal, weddings take a lot of money. And I didn't have much of it. My salary in a month was not even up to 18,000 naira. I was a senior registrar. Don't think I was a layabout. I was working in Lagos University Teaching Hospital, about to finish my residency training. In fact, the wedding was 3 months after I passed my Part 2 exam, my final exams. Every little bit of money I had, you can imagine, it went towards arrangement. Then one day I was sharing the word of God with the young woman that I was about to marry. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 was where I was reading from. And he said, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or trust in the uncertainty of riches. He said, instruct them, Paul was writing to Timothy, to do good, to be generous, to be ready. He said, to put their faith in God. That was the first thing he said to them. He said, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. And I was explaining that day. I didn't know, the Holy Spirit sometimes, when he wants to talk, he talks through you to you. I thought I was talking to the young woman who I wanted to marry. I was just, I like to teach the scriptures. So I was going line by line. I said, a sign that you are believing God is that you are generous, you are ready to share. I will just explain like that. That sometimes we put our faith in money and this and that. As I was talking, as I finished the message, I said, oh boy, that message was for you. Because in planning, I needed money, you can understand. I needed plenty of it. And I didn't have it. So I said I was trusting God, but I was trusting my salary. Actually, what used to happen was that I'm a man that God blessed with ability to sleep. I almost lost it a few years ago, about 3 years ago. I've regained it back now. Yes. Then when I would lie down the bed, maximum 5 minutes later, I'm in gear three. Really. I remember once I was in school, I went to the bed to sleep. After some time, I didn't sleep. 1 hour passed, I didn't sleep. I was wondering, what's going on? I now remembered, as I was going to class that evening, I passed through one of my friend's room, and they were drinking coffee. So they gave me a cup to drink. I forgot. I came back to the room at my normal time. I hit the bed. The sleep didn't come for like 1 hour. I said, what's going on? And I now remember, I said, oh, you drank coffee. That's how good I am with sleeping. I sleep normally. But this season, I realized I'll go and lie down. I'll be on my bed. 10 minutes will pass. Forget, sleep is not even starting yet. 30 minutes will pass. I'm still there. 1 hour will pass. I'm still there. More than an hour will pass. I've not slept. Then after some time, I will get up, read. Then finally doze off after a while. This happened for a few days. Then finally I realized what was going on. I said, wow, this is what they call worry. I didn't know it was worry. What was I doing? I was sitting there, okay, that guy who's saying he's making card, why can't he do that card for 5,000? Why is he taking 10,000? Okay, I'll see him on Monday. I will negotiate. Okay, all right. Hey, the guy who's making the suit, I will give him 5,000. Oh, that ring. Oh, these women say, why do they insist on gold? This thing, you know, I will be calculating, no. I say, oh, this is what they call worry. I did not know I was worrying. And as part of that worry, if you say, please, give me money to buy Coke, I will say to you, sorry, I don't have. Why? I had calculated everything. So that day, as I was explaining this scripture, the Holy Spirit just said to me, see your problem? You are not trusting in God, you are trusting in money. I said, Jesus. So that day, I said, good, I have caught myself now. A friend of mine was wedding. So I took some of the money I had been gathering. I went and met him. I said, oh boy, how are you preparing? He didn't know what was going on. I said, I hope you're getting everything. I said, look, let it not be that I didn't help you with this, your wedding. And it was only a week. We were only a week apart. I said, Bible said, be generous and be ready to share. I gave him a sign that I'm now trusting in God. I went to church that day, the following Sunday, and my pastor, who had not given a bottle of water in a long time, I greeted him and said, sir, please, I just wanted to greet you. I handed him an envelope, put some money inside. The money I had gathered, I shared it around like that. Then bought myself good food, ate, you know, relaxed. The Bible says this is a sign of faith. I wasn't sowing a seed. Christians say, sow a seed. I wasn't sowing a seed. I was releasing myself to God. Let me summarize it. God supernaturally took care of everything. There was a time I needed money. God said to me, in effect, in different ways, that what you need is not money. What you need is wisdom. I went to see one of my friends who was doing something for me. He said, I remember the wisdom God put in his mouth that day. He said, oh boy, anything you don't have, you don't have, or you can't kill yourself because you won't marry you. I said, that is true. I didn't even realize it before. So I took a piece of paper and wrote to my father-in-law. I said, I don't have money again. I said to him, sir, I'm financially exhausted. I said, Bishop Odekpo said, men are in sizes. Life is in phases. Men are in sizes. No, we never talked about it. Nobody asked me to do anything after that time. What is it? It's a man who come. If I die now, who will be husband to this, your daughter? I beg you, let me survive. At the end of the day, look, to God be all the glory. I can assure you, I think I should be his favorite son-in-law. If I don't call my mother-in-law in 4 days, she'll call me and say, Panky, it's been 5 years. Oh, I said, mommy, I'm sorry. I don't want to remind her that. How can it be 5 years? When we still spoke over the weekend. But I get the point. What am I trying to say? The sign that my faith was now genuine was that It was showing in the way I was now handling money. That was a sign that I was now trusting in God. Many people were copying that. Some of our pastors would tell us that this man gave a seed and he reaped. He didn't give a seed to reap. He released himself to God, and the manifestation was that he was generous and ready to share. We try to copy his acts. We don't get any result because we don't have the same faith. In this day and age, am I truly a disciple of Christ? This is how I know. It is not by the fact that I go to church. It is that once in a while, a clash will happen between what Christ says and what the society says. Once in a while, it will clash that the society will say, behave like this, but the word of God says, do the other way. It is at such times you know whether you have faith or you don't have faith. It's not when you raise up your hand in church to worship. Everybody that comes to church will raise his hand. It is say, stand up, bow down, sit down, sit down. We all do it. Like I say jokingly, I say that's why God doesn't come to church. He goes to our homes. He goes to our offices. When God wants to mark register of those who are true believers, one place he doesn't check is in church. He knows everybody there behaves properly. He knows. So he said, is this man a Christian? He said, go to his office. Go and wait there. That is where we will know whether he's a Christian or he's not. Is this woman a Christian? Just go to her house. Sit down when she's talking with her husband and her children. That is when you know whether she's a Christian or she's not. As per church, we all behave nice. I hardly see people disobey ushers in church. You say, a tiny young usher will say, sit down here, sir. And the man that's 7 foot tall, 120 kg, he will sit. But can anybody tell him to sit when he gets to work? That's when you know whether he's a true believer or he's not a believer. The one that even makes me laugh, they say, oh, this man is so humble. He's a bank manager, but he sweeps the church. Yeah, I always laugh. I say, Oga, people bigger than you have swept shrine. Yes, they've swept shrine. It's not a sign of spirituality. You want to show me you are spiritual? You are a bank manager. Sweep the banking hall. I know you are spiritual at that time. Sweep the banking hall. Enter your own toilet inside your bank and you say, this is dirty. Give me the brush and happy. Quickly clean it. Then I know you are spiritual. This one, you come to church in front of bishop and you are doing money, sir, and you are sweeping. Oh, come, forget that thing. People go to Babalawo Shrine and do all kinds of things. That's what we mean when we say obedience perfects faith. What that means is this. It is not as if we put in obedience so that our faith can be perfect. No. It is that if the faith is really perfect, it will always show in obedience to every detail of the word of God. And if it does not show, it is simply that the faith is not good. The faith is not real. So our works, those things are the signs. Like in Nigeria of today, like one of my friends was in my house this morning. Well, again, yesterday night. We're just this a good Christian. He said he has reached his point. They run the business, he and his friends. One of his friends is a big boss in charge of everything. They run a construction firm, consultancy, and all of that. And listen, they do business in a year. They turn over, if it's a bad year, I'm sure those guys don't turn over anything less than ₦1 billion. That's how much business these young people do, all right? They are business people. He said they swore that give anybody kickback or kick forward or bribe, they will not do. He was telling me this morning that if that his friend, who's their big boss, they are all about the same age, you know, but one of them is the main man in charge. He said when he hears that I gave anybody a gift, he said if you see the querying, the questioning, why, for what, that they are vehemently against giving anybody anything. And these are Christians. Generosity is not their problem. There was a day, this is my friend that was telling me, then I traveled to the U.S. for something. He called me, said, hey, man of God, where are you? I said, what? I'm answering you from America. He said, wait. How do I send you money? Why? He said, God just blessed me. I need to give you something. These are generous people. There was a day he called me like that. He said, send me the ministry's account number. I said, what's happening? He said, I'll tell you later. He just got a job. They gave him down payment for his own part of it. He quit. So giving is not their problem. But the men said, listen, this is Nigeria. The corruption is too much. We refuse to participate. They work out on big jobs. Why? You said that they have to give this person this. You say, give who anything. Come on, let's go. They walk out on anybody. Carry them to Aso Rock. Let the president say to them, we'll give you this job, but you'll give this person this amount. They say, oh God, we are not doing. Carry the job. We are not going. We are going home. You God can't bless us. Let's die in poverty. Look, that is what, that is faith that is talking. Is it to sit at home and pray, God, this corruption, this country is too much? No, you rise up and say, this corruption, I know you are too much, but you won't enter this house. Then you know your faith against it is working. The other day, somebody told me that somebody came to their church to preach and said, don't worry, just give them the bribe first. When you have made the money, you will preach the gospel. I say, it's a lie. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. It is if I perish, I perish. Mm-hmm. So if you don't do it, you won't get the jobs. Then away with the jobs. Mm-hmm. Did Jesus not say that if it's your eye that causes you to stumble, remove it? If it's your hand, remove it. If it's the job, remove it. Yes. How can we not say because we will not get the contract if we don't give the... And the truth is that I know a man. I won't mention his name. His name, if I drop here, half of at least 70% of this congregation will know him. And it's in this town. I know his personal testimony. He has never given anybody 50 naira in bribe. And he's a generous man. He can come in here and you say, oh, we are doing something. He say, how much? He say, everything is 5 million. He say, okay, take 2 million. The rest of it contributes to balance 3. That's the kind of human being he is. That's the kind of human being he is. In their church, they can say they want to do a project. He personally will draw 50 million naira. Yet, he will tell you, I am not giving anybody one kobo in bribe. And he has never done it, and he has built a business that's turning over billions of naira on a yearly basis. One day, he went to a banking hall. Very simple, man. If you see him, you won't believe. If I went to see him, so the way he will greet me, you would think he's my junior. He will say, hey, Pastor Maki, to what do I owe this honor? I say, oh, God, this is what you are doing, sir. That I entered his office. That's how he behaves. So one day he entered the banking hall. There was no seat to sit down. So somebody now begged one man to please stand up for the man to sit. See, the man was doing shakara. The manager came to the man, get up. If you like, get angry, get up. Because the amount of money the man had in their bank. The manager like, you think two of you are equal customers? Stop that too. If this man withdraws his money, I lose my job. He must find a seat. You stand up, yes, small boy. Stand there. Yeah, the man can tell you, I have never given anybody 50 kobo in bribe. And he has done business with private people, with government, to the top level in federal government. They know him. That this one, don't discuss kickback or kick forward with him. They only call him when they are ready to do serious business. These things are doable. But until we make up our minds, if I perish, I perish, we won't get to that particular point. Our faith is not real until it is producing obedience on a daily basis in our lives. That is the point I am making. That is the point I am making. It is that obedience that is the proof to even us. It is the works of faith that proves to even us that truly we believe. That's it. That time when I was finishing my residency, they said money is in Lagos. I said, no! The word of the Lord came to me saying, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I read that from the book of Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. I said, what is the sign that I believe it? Anywhere I go, God will prosper me there. So when it was time to come to Enugu, someone said, hey, why are you going to Enugu? You don't want to make money. I said, don't worry. I have made money already in Christ. Anywhere I go now, God will bless me there. And I can assure you, I came to Enugu in the year 2000. I was talking to my friends yesterday. I said, when I came, it was just my wife and I. I said, but look at it now. Look at all the children that God has given me. I said, I've been blessed in this city. Yes, I have been blessed. There's nobody that ran to Lagos that was more blessed than me. You go to America, you are not more blessed than me. You are not. I can go anywhere because I believe that word. If I get up today and say I'm going to Mali, Mali will settle. The war will end. That I might live in peace. That is a fact. That is a sign of my faith. It is not the works that's producing the thing. It is that the works come out if the faith is genuine. Let me end my message with one simple word. Every believer, you have a responsibility. Examine this, the way by which you are walking. Look at the last elections. Let's ask ourselves, now that Buhari has won the election, you know, the Bible says that every government is by God. You know, God is one. Some people won't pray for him again. No, they say, this one was not chosen by God. And if the man fails, they'll say, hey, we knew he was going to fail. No, he failed because you refused to pray for him. You disobeyed the word of God. Look, I'll keep on telling people, I didn't vote for him. And I went to vote. But the moment he won, he became my favorite man. Now I'm sending prayers to him regularly, prophetic words, declaring good. And who says that Jesus doesn't want him to be saved too? We seem to forget. We think that God wants some people to go to hellfire. Why we go to heaven? God desires that every man will be saved. I want to challenge every Christian. The new government that is coming up, start praying for them now. And as for the vice president that's coming, I know them. I knew that man in 1996, 97 or so. Before, that's when Abacha was still in government. I knew the man because he came to preach in our doctor's fellowship. We had an outreach. He was our guest speaker. So he said, is he a true Christian? I said, yes, he is. Let's pray for, continue to pray for him that God will use him to reach his boss. Because that man took, he shouldn't die a Muslim. Why should he die a Muslim? He has to die a Christian. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Jesus died for Buhari, didn't he?
He did.
And Jesus would rapidly save the man if he would kneel down. Is that not true? So why can't we add that one to our prayer point? That Lord, we want our president to be a Christian. Even if he's a Nicodemus Christian, it's okay. You know the Nicodemus Christian? Secret follower, go by night. We don't mind. Let him and Oshibajo be joining hands when nobody's there. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the name of, when he comes outside, come do Allah Akubaru, we'll forgive you. We forgive you the way Naaman. You remember Naaman? Naaman asked for forgiveness from Elisha and said that, Master, I will follow your God, but you see, if I follow my king to the house of Dagon, I'm not worshiping Dagon, just as you know, he's my boss. I have to follow him. Let's pray that something will happen in his life. That is a sign that indeed we believe that God is working in our nation. I hope you've gotten my point this evening.
Yes.
Let's bow down our heads and begin to pray. Let's say to the Lord, examine me. David said it in Psalm 139. He says, search me, O Lord. Check my inward thoughts. What we are saying this evening is, search me, O Lord. Search whether truly I believe and help me to know where my faith is not genuine because it's not producing works. In the way I relate with my family, my church, my brethren, my wife, my husband, my children, my work, my ministry. It's easy to say I believe in God. The manifestation is how I do my work, how I do the things that I do, how I share the gospel with my neighbor. Let's ask God once again for the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the boldness to declare this gospel with everybody, to everybody. It's important. If we find that we have been shy to tell people the gospel of Jesus, it's because the anointing in our lives have waned. Let's take the moment and say, Lord, fill me afresh with the Holy Spirit, the spirit of boldness, the spirit of utterance. Say, Lord, fill me afresh. And if by chance there's anybody here this evening that hasn't given his or her life to Christ, don't let this moment pass you by again. Say, you've been going to church. Like I said, my landlord said he was in his 50s. When his own daughter said, Daddy, you are not a Christian, let's face it. He knelt down and two young girls prayed for him. They prayed for him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He told me that was when I finally became a believer, yet my father was a bishop. Everyone just declare in your heart and with your words, they say, Lord, I will live for you every moment, everything that I do. I will let my life reflect your glory.